Welcome to another eye-opening episode of
Revealing the Truth About Islam,
the show that shines the light of truth into the darkness of Islam,
exposing the life of Muhammad, exposing the errors in the Quran.
It's Revealing the Truth About Islam. And now, here's your host, author, conference speaker, and Islamic expert, Usama Dakdak.
And greeting again to you in the name of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. It is my joy to be with you tonight with Sister Christy and Father Paul as we launch this couple-hour show. Maybe we'll go for a little bit longer, depending on how many questions you guys ask me. The more questions, the longer we stay together. If there's no question, roughly 2 hours from now, we're going to say good night. But it is August the 51st of the year of our Lord, 2024. What a great time I have here in Florida. This is my second week, and I'm in Orlando area. Now, I was hoping I'm going to be in Daytona Beach Monday, Tuesday, back to Sarasota Wednesday, Thursday. I'll be heading back home to Missouri. So, hello, Christy and Paul. How are you guys doing?
Well, I'm doing fine, Usama, and looking forward to you being able to return. But I also want to tell our Blog Talk folks that I cannot take phone calls because you guys can't hear it, but please join us anyway, and I'll open the chat in just a second.
All right, good. Paul, what's going on in New York, man?
Oh, I'm enjoying the actually very nice, cool rain. It was kind of getting warm and hot this the other day, and now it's just a refreshing rain, so it's nothing bad, just a light rain.
Amen. I love to hear what Brother Joseph is right to us. He says, glory to God, can't wait to work with you guys. We're going to have Joseph with us, and we're going to have Muhammad with us, and we're going to have Ali with us, and if God is with us, who can be against us?
Amen.
Well, Brother Paul, we have lots of material to cover. We obviously, when we do our Friday broadcast for BCY, we take some of this material which we share with you guys here every week. But believe it or not, this time I literally got rid of 4 stories. I couldn't believe it. We talked too much, Paul. What is wrong with you?
That's why I was right.
You have radio in your mouth, big lips? What is wrong with you? Anyway,
so, all right.
So
our first story comes from the DNC. Dr. Tlaib Sharif, the Imam of Masjid Muhammad in Northwest D.C., this Washington, D.C., gave the invocation. He was one of two that gave the invocation for the DNC. They had a very liberal Jew who was into homosexuality.
Oh, my word. Are you serious?
They had this Imam. It says, but they didn't tell anybody who Sharif is well known for being around, like the Islamic Circle of North America, which is seen as a Muslim Brotherhood organization.
Yeah.
Play the tape, because this is just hard to believe if you don't see it for yourself. Set this up. I was, you know, I'll be honest, I was kind of surprised. I didn't expect it to be as weird.
Yes, indeed.
All right, so here we go.
I can't hear him. Oh!
I can't either. Oh, I know why. All right,
please. I silenced my YouTube.
That's the problem. All right. Escape.
You got the rabbi lady. Most likely she's a gay. I'm guessing that's going to work.
Yeah.
And now you got a good Muslim imam. I cannot even think with me. How the world Muslims lower their standards? They're so despicable, professional, hypocrite liars, lower the standards. They have no problem to share the pulpit with a lesbian Jew woman. Wait, hello? Is somebody hearing me? You people of America have a little bit more brain than Muslims. I mean, excuse me. If the Muslims are very deceiving, we should have a little bit of brain. Do you think it's normal for a Muslim imam to share the pulpit after a lady who is a Jew, a lesbian? What did he left for morality in his, anything left there? Hello? Okay, go ahead.
Here we go. Greetings of peace. We pray that Almighty God Allah will bless this historic convention. Tonight, we build upon our pledge, one nation under God, indivisible, from Adam, created without racial, ethnic, or national identity, but the first identity. Bless us to embrace our shared identity and diverse expressions of life that contribute to the beauty and strength of our nation of nations, made up of people coming together from every land. E pluribus unum. In moving forward with a bold vision for the future, we pray it will reflect our nation's diversity and intrinsic nature to live together intelligently. Bless our leaders with wisdom to do the right thing, consistent with God's ways, to stand firm against inhumane acts, to treat all humans as the sacred creation of the Almighty. And may we remember the inalienable rights service members sacrificed to protect. That is the America we vote for. Amen.
Can I say the Shahada right now? Because the prayer was so good, it touched my heart. I feel like praying, asking Allah to be my God. Yes. Anyway, here's the deal, Paul. Do you have the writing in the script for your material?
Yes. Yes, I did.
Please share this with me.
Okay. So he said. He said, "Greetings of peace. We pray that Almighty God, Allah, will bless this historic convention tonight."
Greeting of peace. You know what Allah taught us in the Quran? Ladies and gentlemen, Allah taught us in the Quran to obey Muhammad. Okay? Allah, the Quran, never said to greet the Jews and the Christians, the infidels, with peace. Muhammad in the Hadith said, do not initiate the Jews, peace to the Jews and the Christians. And if you meet on a road, force them, it's narrow as now. So I don't know, does this imam know anything about Islam, Christy? Or he is the new Muslim? That imam, know anything about Islam?
Well, if he's an imam, he knows the Quran.
I think you're wrong, Christy. You're wrong. You asked the question. Do you really know that imam know anything about Islam? Does he know the jack about Islam?
He's pretending he doesn't. Because he's affiliated with the Muslim Brotherhood, I tend to think...
Whoa. That imam belongs to the Muslim Brotherhood?
Yes.
Like Brotherhood?
Yeah, he's part of ICTA, so, and yes, he
will... Thank you, Jesus. Okay, so we got a Muslim imam who's mocking the entire Democrat convention by lying in his prayer. Asking the peace of Allah, God. Is it Allah or God? Make up your mind, people. Muslims, make up your mind. Is it God, G-O-D, or Allah?
He said, Almighty God, Allah. I haven't figured out what he meant by that.
It's like a cocktail. You know, when you make fruit cocktail, a little bit strawberry, a little bit banana, a little bit this, a little bit that. Wow, mashallah. Why not put Buddha, Almighty God, Allah, something else?
Well, Usama, we knew where this was going. The 2008 Democrat convention, this is where Obama was nominated for the president in 2008, and they had a really weird thing happen. They took God out of the platform, and there was a group of people there who were so happy they took God out of the platform. God.
Whoa. How can you take God out? Did they kick him out?
Well, they normally in the platform, like in the Republican Party, one of them says, you know, we believe in God, you know, that he's whatever. In the Democrat convention, they also had a platform that included statements about God, and they were seeking his blessing or whatever. And a group of Muslims were very angry about it. And a Christian minister, I believe he was Methodist, went up there and said, well, we need to put God back in the platform for the DNC and the Democrat Party. And so I know everybody wants to do that. All those in favor say aye. And then he said, all those in favor say no. And then,
in favor, the opposite, not in favor.
No, then, well, he wanted it back in, so those that were in favor of bringing it back say aye. And then he said in and opposed, and the nays were so loud. And he stood up there and lied and said the yays have it, and the other people were booing. They've been trying to get God out of the Democrat Party for a long time. Now, that doesn't mean they want Allah out. It just means they want God out, and I guess they managed to do it this year because they did take him out.
Any person who has any logic or common sense could figure out very simple: God Almighty has been out of the garbage Democrat, socialist, communist, Muslim party long time ago. And if there's some Christians still think that they are Democrat, they need to figure out, to wake up, figure out that the Democrat Party left you long time ago. You are in the la-la land, okay? So I don't believe there's any Christian in that party. There's plenty of others, but there's not any Christian.
Usama, you make a very important point, because the only reason that they were trying to say they had God in their platform was because so many people who are in various Christian denominations or churches are claiming to be Democrat, and they could not possibly disregard them in that level back then. But they already had God gone.
Jesus was already gone.
Yes,
long time ago.
I agree.
He's someone I call Baptist, Catholic, Presbyterian, not Christian in any way, shape,
or form. That's right.
So the first portion.
We have a comment here, Darcy. I think that was from Darcy. I think you need to read.
Yeah, go ahead.
It says, good thing Yahweh is in control. He can't be moved by puny human whims.
That's right.
Thank
amen.
I appreciate you saying that. So anyway, so now we're going to ask from the first sentence of that Muslim imam. He's actually telling us Allah, God, whatever it is you're going to put there. And he's greeting the Jews and the Christians and the infidels with peace. Propaganda, hogwash peace. You can teach that in some mosque in Muslim world or on Friday or some wacko. Not to us in America. There's plenty of people here much smarter than you, Mr. Imam. Go down a little bit, Paul. I know at the end there's something about the enable right.
So he said, bless our leaders with the wisdom to do the right thing consistent with God's ways, to stand firm against
God's ways. God's ways. Are you talking about God or Allah? Because Allah's ways have nothing to do with God's ways. Now, which one are you talking about?
That's a good question, because with this imam, he's trying to confuse us.
I know he said Allah, God Almighty, Buddha, and somebody else, okay? But when he's talking about God's ways, is Allah's ways is the same as God's ways?
No.
So which way is he talking about?
Well, considering he's Muslim, he's most likely meaning Allah.
Islam. Mm-hmm. You see, let me remind you what Muslims say in their prayer 17 times a day. Guide us to the straight way, Islam, the way of those whom we have grace, the Muslims, not the way of those whom your wrath or your anger is against, the Jews, nor the lost ones, the Christians. So let me put my thought here. He's talking about God's ways, Allah's ways, which is Islam, not God's ways, Judea, Christian beliefs. Are we clear about that, or maybe I'm missing something here, Christy?
No, I think you're exactly right. And this whole prayer is just full of hypocrisy. But remember, in Islam, you're allowed to say things
lie
that are untrue. In other words, lie.
MashaAllah. I'm going to pray to Allah, and I'm going to lie for the next 5 minutes. Okay, what come up to that, Paul? What come up to that?
treat all humans as the sacred creation of the Almighty, and may we remember the inalienable rights.
Okay, treat all humans and these rights. I wish I can ask Brother Yusuf. Brother Yusuf, can you tell me in Islam, you are an ex-Muslim, you know more about Islam than I can learn about Islam in my life. In Islam, Brother Yusuf, do we have any rights? Men, women, old, young, does Islam teach any rights for any person about anything? Do we have any rights?
He did say Allah's ways are the opposite of God's ways.
Oh, that's a fact, that's a fact. But my right. question is, in Islam, do we have any rights? Come on, Yusuf Habibi. You know about Islam very well. Is he still there? Hello?
Oh, he's
still here, I think.
Yusuf.
He heard it type.
So we'll give it to Christy for now. Christy, in Islam, do we have any rights?
No, Usama, Allah wrote everything or had an angel in the womb writing everything about your life before you were born. You don't have, not only do you have no rights, you have no freedom of
I believe that's exactly, thought. That's exactly. So what they're trying to do here, Paul and Christy, they're trying to repaint Islam with this beautiful picture in few words in a prayer. They are literally belittling the liberal mind, if they have any mind, of the liberal Democrat of this country. And because the Democratic wonderful group listens to these prayers, they actually are convinced. I mean, you cannot tell me you got a Muslim imam to come to speak in that pulpit and pray to Allah. If you don't believe in what he's talking about, then you don't believe in him. And he did a great job to show us how stupid are the Democrats and how ignorant are the Democrats. And I'm sorry, there is zero right in Islam. What do we have there?
Well, Yusuf wrote, if you are not Muslim, you don't even have a right for a grave.
Oh, my Lord. Thank you. Shukran, Yusuf Habibi. Thank you so much. Here we go. Welcome to Muslim Imam in America. Used the Democrat as useful idiots, or, I'm sorry, let me add another word, stupid, useful idiots to promote da'wah, to promote Islam in America. So here we go. We're talking about Allah, God, whatever you want to call him, it's the same thing. And the peace of Allah and the joy of Muhammad and the glory of Islam will be on you if you just allow him to take over your country. And we'll all have all the rights, whatever rights comes to your mind, you got it.
No freedom of speech, no freedom of expression, no right to assembly, no right to gun ownership.
No right to be buried in earth after you die. How about that? That's a nice one. Nice one.
You know, the idea of inalienable rights is something unique to the United States, the Declaration of Independence and the Constitution that are our founding documents. They talked about these rights coming from God. That's the God of the Bible, the Judeo-Christian worldview is unique that men have rights given by God.
Exactly. Well, Brother Paul, let's move on to the next story because that did not make me sick enough for tonight.
Helga Miner reports that anti-Israel students at Cornell University vandalized the administrative building on Monday, which appears to have been a test of the resolve of the interim president, Kotlikoff, who announced new policies on institutional neutrality, discipline, and encampments around the time of the incident. According to the Cornell Daily Sun, the anti-Zionist agitators graffitied, "Israel bombs, Cornell pays, and blood is on your hands" on Day Hall. They also shattered the glazings of its front doors. The vandalism of Day Hall concurred with Kotlikoff issuing a statement, which, I mean, that's what's happening about the same time as he's giving this statement, which describes how the university will respond to potentially disruptive protests, a problem which prematurely ended the tenures of four Ivy League presidents last academic year, including his predecessor. In it, Kotlikoff stressed his belief in upholding the expressive activities of individuals while maintaining they are bound by the need to protect the core functions of the universities and the reciprocal rights of others. So letting the incident slide may invite the scrutiny of U.S. Congress, which only last week asked the university to share its plans for deterring and responding to lawbreakers and anti-Semitic discrimination. As of this publication, which again, it was by Elgemeiner, his administration, the Scott Lacoste administration, had pledged to hold the students accountable.
In the middle of the crisis we have in our last semester, and it was really getting close into the semester, I predicted that this semester will be worse. And not only the number of the universities where there will be riots all over this country, but even the level of activities, what the students are going to be doing. I know that the Congress thinks that they can shut it down and they can end it. Well, good luck, Congressman. Good luck. Because I promise you, you will, even if you arrest the last moderate, you're not going to arrest your students. These are the American students with white and black skin, with brown and blue and green eyes. They've already been brainwashed thanks to your stupidity for allowing the Muslims to brainwash them in the last 20 years. We got our presentation live in the textbooks, which I only covered 30-some books in the high school level. I haven't even got to college level yet.
Yeah.
We're talking only about the high school level. We already brainwashed generations, Paul. We're not talking about 1 year, 2 years. It's been almost 20 years.
Yeah.
2003, 2004, 2005. We've been teaching garbage, hogwash material about different subjects, and it's over. So here we go. The Congress said the school has to do some real good job to stop that. I don't think so. As a matter of fact, it's going to get worse, especially Chris Johnson, if Mr. Trump wins. It's going to be the nails on the coffin of America to stop any process of doing anything right in this land.
Well, Usama, I have to say, I don't think it will be better if Kamala Harris becomes president, but if we're going to stop this, it is going to take some very serious action of law enforcement, possibly even the National Guard, to be on these campuses, because what is happening is the persecution of Jewish students. And four professors lost their jobs because they did not protect their students. They're not going to do it. It is going to turn into potential serious violence. I watched some of this happening in the United States on college campuses before, where they had to call in the National Guard because of student activists creating violence and intimidating and threatening the administrators on college campus. Now we've got students who are in danger. It looks bad. It looks bad. And I don't know what is going to happen. But
you really did not actually punish these four people. Some of them are making more money right now than when they used to work there. But the point here is this. If you will not round up all these students, throw them out of the campus, it will never stop. It will continue to grow.
I agree with you, because that's the problem. There's been such a lax attitude. But Usama, you know, when we put together that presentation, Lies in the Textbooks, and we were reading the things that they put out there, they were inciting high school students. Then we watched you go down to the lower grades. You're talking about years and years and years of brainwashing, telling students that Israel is evil and Jewish people are evil and Christians, they don't know anything because Jesus was a Palestinian boy. We tried to tell parents, wake up and go to the schools and protest about this material that's being taught. And we couldn't even get pastors to stand up with you when you tried to do that.
All these years we're trying to put this material in the church, and the church is not really interested to learn about it. The number of churches who heard me talk about the subject lies in textbooks in America, in the United States of America, in the last, 12, 14, I don't know how many years we've been doing that, but it's at least 12 years.
Yeah.
Maybe 40 churches, 50 churches. That's not even two counties in America. That is not... 52 counties in America. In 50 states, well, good luck. And when I did this presentation just recently in a few churches, I mean, I did maybe 7-8 times just the last few weeks. They were shocked. I was like, I said, that presentation is old.
Yeah.
I have it for 13 years, and I saw some dates on it. Oh, why we never heard of it? That's it. That's why we're going to be destroyed, because we have zero knowledge, and the Bible is very clear, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. That is a problem. So, Paul, I don't know. Should we wait to see what's going to happen to these students who did what they did last week, or is this going to be just a norm for another semester?
I think it's going to get worse, partly because of the guy behind it all, who we're talking about in this next story. And I'll just start with that. Dr. Hatem Bazian, the founder of the Students for Justice in Palestine, a.k.a. the SJP, have acknowledged that anti-terrorism law is being used to close the national SJP. That's in a court case that's happening currently.
And SJP.
Now, we reported on this 2 months ago.
Yeah, but remind people what what it is.
I just said it. Justice in Palestine. All right,
students.
SJP have acknowledged that.
I just want to emphasize students. Okay,
can you finish, please? Okay. This is related to an active court case in Florida we mentioned 2 months ago, where the national SJP is taking propaganda from Hamas and distributing it to its chapter. That is, they are distributing Hamas propaganda directly to student groups. Dr. Hatem Bazian blames Jewish groups for the national SJP possibly being closed due to anti-terrorism laws. However, he's the one who is thought to have a direct connection to Hamas. Now, I can play that video. Let me just set this up just a second. Just have to refresh one more time, and I'll set this up. I want you to think about this. This is something he said. These are his words. And yeah, I got to go back because I did not
sound.
Yeah, I didn't turn on the sound.
All right, now we have close to 300 campuses with SJP, each are independent. Now, I say this because I don't know if you saw the hearing in Congress. We already have a number of lawsuits that are filed to say that there is some mastermind behind the SJP. The attempt is to try to use the anti-terrorism law. It's very important what is being done. The anti-terrorism law says that either you engage in some form of material support, financial, or you actually are propagating knowingly the propaganda or the messages of a designated terrorist organization. So in essence, what they are trying to use is the anti-terrorism legislation that came through the Patriot Act in order to designate a particular national SJP as a arm or as promoting terrorism. And if that happens, then to be able to shut down SJP as an organization. They also have given the designation to the Treasury Department through another legislation to be able for the Treasury Department to shut down nonprofit organizations. So that's the game that for Israel, the ADL, AJC, and others are playing with AIPAC, really mobilizing their efforts to try to shut down the political. So we need to be aware of it, not to be scared, but to be aware, to understand that this is a game of power, because we have reached a tipping point.
They have reached a tipping point. My question to that, Mr. Hatem, is Hamas a terrorist organization?
I would put that to him, too. I would also remind him that the legislation in particular he's talking about did not come from the Patriot Act. Remember, Hamas was declared a terrorist entity when Clinton was in office. So all this stuff that he's saying is from the Patriot Act is actually from much earlier.
Yeah.
And this is the thing. He's trying to bring out the Patriot Act because he thinks he'll get some conservatives to stand behind him.
But here's my point, Christy. Is he going to blame Israel for the crime of Hamas in Israel? And he will not allow us to use our anti-terrorist law to stop a jihadi organization from continuing to do their jihadi organization? I mean, what is going on with this happening? I need to understand what it is, Christy. Help me out.
Well, obviously, Usama, this is promoting of terrorism. We just watched it on the college campuses. And you remember that they blamed Jewish organizations for trying to stop the support in America for the Palestinians and the Gazans and all of the people of Hamas that are just trying to, protect themselves. Hamas is a terrorist organization, and these problems have been going on for years and years. So now we have this breaking out on the college campus, and this organization is saying the same things that we're hearing for those who support Hamas, who are terrorists.
You know, I think we have been brainwashed so much in this country that even you and I and Paul and everybody are using the word Palestinians. They don't exist. There is no
exactly.
such thing as
exactly.
Palestinians.
And I'm sorry. Yeah. You're right.
As we're going to see later, there is no jinn when we get to another chapter of the Quran as we move on our study.
Hey.
Jinn does not exist. So the Palestinians do not exist.
And the
West,
and the West Bank doesn't exist. That's Samaria and Judah. Yeah.
Yeah. So anyway, you know what we should do in America, Paul? We should and do, wash out, re-brainwash the American people to make sure any time and every time, I'm talking about not just three of us, I'm talking about all those who watch my broadcast. Whenever you hear a politician, whenever you hear a Democrat, if you hear your preacher in your church, if you hear somebody in the street, and these people use the word Palestinians, excuse me, what are you talking about? Are you talking about the Muslims who live in Gaza? Because these are not Palestinians.
Yeah.
Stop being stupid. The Palestinians were destroyed by the Book of Muslims 600 years before Christ. No more Palestinians. As much as I am not Italian or French, as much as there is no Palestinian in Flanders. You got that, Paul?
I got you.
I use the word Palestinians. Both of you correct me. And I'm begging you, say, Usama, stop. Usama, stop. You need to undo this from your brain. There is no Palestinians. I mean, we have hundreds of videos from the Muslims of the Middle East who will confess to you they're not Arab, they're not Palestinians. Imagine that was me. The Muslims of the Middle East can correct us and tell us, they're not Arab and they're not Palestinians. They are a mixed blood, junk, trash society. That's why the Egyptians don't like it. That's why the Syrians don't like it. That's why the Jordanians don't like it. That's why not one Muslim country in the Muslim world wants it. But we somehow love them in America. And the Canadians love them in Canada. Well, you're going to get what you are planting in your land in the near future. Move on, Brother Paul, the next story.
Okay. The New York Post played catch-up this past Monday, and started to express concern that local mosques in New York City are regularly taking hatred, and they expressed hate speech from the pulpit and encouraged more actions like the mosque did on October 7th. It seems like someone on the New York Post just discovered the Middle East media research site. Maybe they should start listening to our weekly broadcast.
Yeah, we've been talking about that for a few weeks now. Or maybe they just need to read that book. If they just can read the Quran, I promise you, they figure out there's nothing in Islam but hate. I mean, what's so hard? Just read Quran chapter 1, which Muslims repeat 17 times a day if they only pray 5 times. And he sees the hatred of the Jews and the hatred of the Christians. And then one prayer, not two, not 20, one prayer in some mosque near you, and hear the word. come, let up to Allah in the end of the prayer, as the rest of the people of the mosque say, amen. That one time will show you without any doubt that we're duped in this country by believing Islam to be a religion. Islam is not a religion. Islam is a savage cult. You have something from Lloyd.
Hey, I would like you to respond to this. Lydia writes, also, if your church leader tells you that Allah is the same God as yours, run or speak up. Allah calls Christians and Jews his enemies.
Amen.
Amen.
That's true. That's true. I'm sick and tired of liberal gay and lesbian churches all over this country. Are going to be slaughtered. They will, I promise you, they will be slaughtered by the hand of the Muslims who are helping the Muslims to take over America. We got a story in Egypt. I just beginning to search it. Last night, this morning, and maybe I will be talking about it next Saturday program, about literally 21 church, 21 preacher, the all evangelical, who are standing with Hamas against Israel. Sick, wicked, ungodly people, cowards. So I'm going to be talking about that maybe next Saturday if I don't have time to translate all of these materials to the English language. We're going to do it the following Saturday. But soon we're going to be talking about what happened to the evangelical church in Egypt, in Iraq, in Libya, and even in Gaza. The Muslims are killing our people, raping our women, burning our churches, destroying our business. And somehow these wonderful preachers do not see anything wrong with Islam. They call to the end of Islamophobia. Literally, as Muslims are speaking against us here in America, these preachers around Israel are spreading their propaganda, hatred against the Jews, and their love for Muslims. God help them. Next story, but I don't know anything else you want to share about that, Chris. I'm sorry.
No, that's okay. Go ahead, Paul.
All right, the DW, which is the news source, DW.com reports that on last Friday evening, a knife attack took place in the western German city of Solingen in front of the music stage at a festival of diversity celebrating the 650th anniversary of the city. The jihadi killed three people, two men and a woman, and eight others were injured, five seriously. At that time, the attacker escaped and police were looking at the local refugee hotel. They took a 15-year-old who DW.com shared was considered to be guilty for not reporting a planned attack. According to the German Daily Bild, the man, still covered in blood, approached the officer shortly after 11 o'clock at night and said, "I'm the one you're looking for." German news magazine Spiegel reported that the suspect is a 26-year-old Syrian national who came to Germany in 2022 and applied for asylum in Bielefeld. He was allowed to stay because his country was in civil war. His name is Isa Al, and they have omitted his family name because of German privacy laws. Oh, by the way, the big news that they're finally reporting here is that Germany has decided that they would enact knife restriction laws, so you won't be able to buy knives.
Oh, mashallah, mashallah. No knife. So all the kitchen going to use plastic knife like we went in the airport. You remember, we used to fly and on the flight going overseas, you serve you a meal, you got a knife, you got a fork, they give you plastic ones. So now the people of Germany are going to use plastic knife, plastic fork in their homes. Mashallah, mashallah. Why don't you stop eating? You don't even eat. Die. That's where you go. Just die. Anyway, so here we go. 21 years old, killing three, and he's been in, this is in Germany, that's right?
Yeah, that's the one in Germany. I think you're confusing this next story with that one. He's only been under arrest for about a week now.
Yeah, so. But imagine, that guy was in Germany for 2 years now?
2 years.
And the reason they got in there because the civil war, and where he come from, I believe Syria.
Well, 2 years ago, the civil war was over.
What I'm saying is, if you're going to bring people an asylum visa to the West, because of civil war or because of whatever reason the Muslim will give to you, you need to get ready for around 750 to 800 million Muslims are going to be moving to the West. That is roughly around half of the Muslims. You know why, Christy? Because half of the Muslims are at war with the other half of the Muslims.
Right. Yeah, these are conflicts that are going to continue. They've been going on for, 1,400 years? This is not going to stop. And each time there's one of these conflicts, the real victims who need to be protected and come to this country with asylum claims are the Christians, Jews, and non-Muslims who are the victims. But in these cases, what we see, and it's been consistent now for a while, we're bringing the Muslims who are saying they are the victims and they need asylum and the door flies wide open, but not for Christian victims, not for Yazidis, not for others.
We got cases all over America for people who come to this country in whatever other visa they came in, and they make up story. I am a gay. If I go back to the where I come from, they're going to kill me. I am a Christian. If I go back where I come, they're going to kill me. I am an atheist. There's a million reasons for why Muslims should come to America, why Muslims could easily take over America. But the one guy got arrested because he's practicing Islam. I wish the German people could understand that. So is as well as the American people. There's something in Islam is called kitman. You know what kitman is? Kitman is, I know that guy is going to use a knife and he's going to kill 50 people. Or he's going to use a car and he's going to kill 200 people. Or he's going to use a bomb and he's going to kill 1,000 people. And I zip it.
That's what the 15-year-old did. Yeah. That's exactly what that 15-year-old is accused of, yeah.
That is exactly what Muslims do. I believe 100% in my heart, every time there's a Muslim attack, there are lots of Muslims who know it is coming. Like September 11th, you're talking about 19 hijackers? I guarantee there's 50 people, from 100 people knows about it before it happens. All I think is one guy speak out, and that attack will have stopped. But Muslims know how to practice the doctrine of kitman. You shut up your mouth, don't say a thing about it, because you don't stop. You don't want to hurt the work of a Muslim jihad. So anyway, anything else you guys want to share about this story?
The next story comes from Sweden.
Yeah.
Last October 12th, the 17-year-old Hamza broke into a villa south of Stockholm wearing a mask, armed with an automatic carbine. There, a 40-year-old father of small children was shot dead. He also fired shots at the mother, who was holding the couple's 2-year-old daughter in her arms, but missed. After that, Hamza left the villa to continue his jihad. The next stop was another villa, this time in southern Greater Stockholm. This villa belonged to a famous artist. Here, Hamza shot dead a 20-year-old female law student and the artist's 60-year-old mother-in-law. On Wednesday, Hamza Abdi Omar, who is now 18, was sentenced to 12 years in prison for 3 counts of murder, 7 counts of attempted murder, and aggravated weapons offenses. It's the most severe sentence ever handed down to such a young person in Sweden. At the same time, Hamza gets to deduct a third of the sentence, plus the time he spent in custody before the sentence, so he'll serve 7 years.
Why not just send him, give him a vacation in Disney, man? We'd love to have Hamza in Disney World here. After all, I mean, he only killed 3 people, and he wounded 7 at this murder. I mean, are you kidding me, stupid Swedens? Are you really kidding me? What are you doing, promoting the killing of your own people? Just give the money. $10,000 for every Muslim, whatever a Muslim kill a Swedish person, we'll give him $10,000. I promise you, the Muslim will do it to you. No problem. I mean, this is so stupid. You killed 3 people. You're going to serve 7 years? Do you think the 7 years and your prison is a punishment? You have to be real stupid. You Swedish people, you need to go to the Muslim world and live in the Muslim world for a week to see what they eat. They're eating garbage. The starvation in the Muslim world is beyond beyond measure. They have no food, they have no place to eat, they have no drink. So put them in your prison. That's like sending me in a trip to Hawaii, a vacation in Alaska. That's exactly what it is. So if every Muslim, Christy, if every Muslim in Sweden will kill only three, do you know how long there will be Swedish in Sweden?
It will be, it'll last less than a year.
You know, the prison population is probably going to increase to have Muslims in there. This does not cause them to be decentivized. They're now heroes for what they're doing. And hey, in this case, they get to come out and kill more. Remember the jihadi imam saying, oh, I wish I could die. The best thing to do is die. And you die seven times. So, hey, he didn't die. Yeah, go kill some more.
Listen, Christy. 3 meals a day. I guarantee you a Swede gives them coffee and cake, like a snack up between the... I guarantee you health care. I guarantee everything. How old is this idiot, this kid now? How old is he?
He just turned 18.
18 plus 7, 25. Wow! Literally, he can redo that time before he gets his 80s. He can kill 30, and he can eat me. Man, that's a great job. Imagine, you kill 3 people, and you spend 10 years in jail. Wow. Free meal, place to sleep, and health care. And if you open that opportunity for 50 or 100 million Muslims, they'll all move to Sweden. Come to Sweden, kill 3 people, we'll give you 10 years in prison. I know some doctors who would love to go to Sweden to live in the prison if you just give them the chance to kill Sweden. I mean, it's so stupid. It's so bizarre. It doesn't make any sense. But somehow, they think they're going to punish him. Ooh, 7 years in prison. In prison. God help us.
Well, the next story is a little different. This comes from Russia, so you can think about how they respond. Daily Mail reported that ISIS inmates who took control of the Russian penal colony, slashing a guard's throat and forcing maimed hostages to beg Putin for help, have now been liquidated by snipers. Video emerged of knife-wielding prisoners saying they were Mujahideen of the Islamic State, seeking revenge for their brothers who carried out the Crocus City Hall massacre. One of them was identified as Rus Moshan Navrusi, who was 23, from Tajikistan. He is said to have strapped himself with explosives that they made in the jail workshop. The siege came to a dramatic end as Russia's feared special forces moved in, with Navrusi trying and failing to detonate his suicide vest before being liquidated with his three fellow attackers.
Liquidated means turned to liquid?
Oh, it means exterminated.
That's how it must be done.
Yeah.
Whenever you see a jihadi who kill or tries to kill, take him out. I'm sorry to tell you that these idiots are not in Europe for the love of freedom or democracy or to enjoy life or to enjoy the giving and charitable greatness of the European people. They're there to kill the men, to rape the women. You're stupid enough to bring this to your country. You need to be a little bit smarter to take them out. Don't even put them in prison. But if you kill three and try to kill another eight, and you give them 7 years in prison, hooray! Good job, Swedish stupid, dumb idiots.
Well, our next story comes from Israel. Kate Farhan Al-Qadi, 52, was rescued from an underground tunnel in a complex mission by Israeli commandos acting on. Qadi is the father of 11 children out of the Bedouin Muslim city in southern district of Israel. He was taken hostage during Hamas's October 7 attacks while he was working security at a packing factory. Al-Qadi is the eighth hostage to be released alive in Gaza by the Israeli military since the beginning of the war in four separate operations, but he is the first to have been reclaimed alive from inside Hamas's tunnel network underneath Gaza the IDF told CNN. I just want to point out that none of the Western coverage of this story points out that this man is Muslim.
If you say Farhan is a Muslim man, you gotta make Israel look good. They don't want to make Israel look good. They want to make Israel as an occupier, evil people. So here we go. They're willing to sacrifice some of their own soldiers' life to free a Muslim man. He was respected by the Prime Minister of Israel to get a phone call to talk with him and congratulate him for his safety and to return to the free country of Israel.
That's right.
Listen, we're going to talk about that when I mention the stupid about the useful idiot 21 preacher was released. They're talking about Israel as an occupier. When in reality, and I'm going to repeat myself again, Israel is the only country in the Middle East, in all the Muslim countries of the world, where the minority have full rights. You can say and teach and live whatever you want to do, except killing a Jew, which is any person will not accept. So the Muslims that are free, the Christians that are free, they actually have a college, imagine me, a Christian college, a seminary, where the Jewish people who left Israel, who left Judaism, and became a Christian. Imagine with me, if I'll go to Egypt today, and I'll have another university, like Al-Azhar University, where the Muslim imams and where the Muslim people who left Islam and became a Christian. And they can walk in and walk out, learn about Jesus, and share the gospel. This is what is making me sick, Paul. In America, we're trying to paint Israel, not with black picture, with a black paint. We put blood and black and fighting and scared. They're terrorists. When in reality, it is the opposite. Farhan, by the way, Farhan means rejoice. Anna Farhan, I am rejoiced. Like the word Saeed is happy, another name we have in the Muslim world. Farhan should be blessed. And he is blessed to be free back into Israel, even though he's a Muslim. Something stupid media in America will not talk about. What do you think of that, Chris?
Well, I think it's important that we are talking about it because the IDF, they go in there. These soldiers are risking their life. This is not an easy operation. And they went in there and saved this man's life with no regard for the fact that he was not Jewish, that he was a Muslim, and he went back to his family because of their bravery and courage and not taking this out on him.
You know the last attack was 13 little children were killed with a bomb?
Yes.
They were Druze. They were not Jews.
That's
they were
right.
Druze. And Israel went in attack against Palestine, against Lebanon, and against Iran. Two bombing killed two leaders because of the killing of 13 Druze. And here we go. They are almost sacrificed. You go under the tunnel, and they did a huge bomb, and we killed the last Jewish people who go under there. They are willing to sacrifice the life of a living soldiers of Israel to save a Muslim man by the name of Farhan. The Jewish people, it doesn't make any difference. If you're an Israeli, we're going to protect you. If you're an Israeli, we're going to save you. If you're an Israeli, we're going to get you out of the struggle you're in. Tell that to O'Biden, which I didn't even know where he's at. Is he still on vacation on the beach for another 5 or 4 weeks? There's only 2 months left. What happened to our American hostage who are still, until today, under Hamas thumb?
Now, we don't know where they are.
And we're still giving them millions and millions and millions of dollars of aid. And do you think we're going to treat our American people like Israel searching for a Muslim man by the name of Farhan? Or Muslim bitch for 13 little boys who are Druze?
No, because the American life now from our federal government is not valued. But I will tell you, the reason the Jewish soldiers can go in there to rescue whoever, they have the foundation of the scripture. They value human life. This is the God of the Bible versus the God of the Quran, Allah, who cares nothing for the life, not even of Muslims. So there's your difference.
Any other story, Brother Paul?
Well, we have on August 22nd, six bodies of hostages, of Israeli hostages, were found in the Hamas tunnels. They were each found shot. They were shot while they were doing an operation close by. In addition, the body of an Israeli soldier who died fighting Hamas on October 7th was recovered this Wednesday.
Beautiful. The Palestinians, the good Hamas, the people who are really having a hard time are killing our hostages. They're shooting hostages. That's exactly what they want. Somehow in America, the Muslims are trying to convince us that Hamas did nothing wrong. They never took any hostage. It's just whatever. Somehow, they're just shooting them to kill them. Ezra said, it will end that war. Give the hostages, give up your Hamas jihadi terrorists, and you'll live in peace. And they choose not to. And until just this hero, one more story, six more hostages been shot and killed. And I guarantee you, they're going to kill the last ones they have. Because, you know, if it's alive, somehow Israel will be able to go in and save it. And if that is the case, I think Israel should not stop until they kill the last Hamas. Until they kill the last Hamas. If there's one hostage still alive, keep going. When they kill the last hostage, kill the last one who maybe aimed to that hostage with a gun and shot and killed. I'm sorry, justice will not be served by loving these savage Muslims. Justice will be served even with the good of the Muslims of Gaza when the Jewish people, when the Israeli army kill the last Hamas. The last one. Not only the one living in Gaza, the last one in planet Earth. So if there's some right now in Qatar, or some right now in Syria, or some right now in Gaza, Allah should hunt them to get the last Hamas, that name will be as good as the Palestinian name, which means there will not be any more Hamas left. Otherwise, that snake Hamas, that vicious lion Hamas, will continue to hunt and kill Jewish people. All right,
one of the things that was being brought out in the news recently is that the leaders of these terror organizations, they're all wealthy. They've taken the supplies, the money, the resources, and the funding from America to line their own pockets. They're living basically far away from all of this, and it's just like when we heard about the imam telling these kids to go out and perform jihad and die in jihad, and then they're not willing to do that. And these leaders... they're victimizing their own that are listening to them and pushing this violence and for them to do these horrible acts. And they're somewhere in Qatar or somewhere, living it up and making lots of money from American taxpayer dollars.
Definitely.
Well, Chris, do you want to share how they can book Usama for a speech?
Yeah, for those who have had an opportunity to, be awakened a little bit about what's going on and to learn about Islam, Usama is available to come and speak. He would love to come and share with your political group or your church or your civic organization. He's spoken in many different settings in order to provide people with knowledge and understanding of what Islam truly is. Like he said, there's so many churches that have passed on this opportunity to even learn 12, 15 years ago about what was being taught in the schools. And now we still have a few hours. We have a few years possibly to get this truth out. So you can contact Usama and see if he can come and be available in your area. You don't have to pay for him to come, but he does have to coordinate his schedule so he can be there. So contact his number at 941-223-1703 and see if you can get him scheduled for your organization, your group, your church. And you can also go on the website, thestraightway.org, and make contact there. But we would love to see USAMA educating more and more people, Christian, non-Christian, just Americans who need to wake up to this problem.
Thanks, Christy. Appreciate you.
And I'll say this, during the next half while you're listening, if you have a question, please put a cue at the front of your post. That way I can save it for later. And after the video at the end, Usama will answer your questions. All right, and here we go for our break.
For the last 1,400 years, Muslims worldwide have considered one book to be perfect, complete, and in Quran. In that way, the only miracle was Quran itself, but is it a clear miracle of God? Just using deception of
over Allah states his prophet in the Quran that the Quran is a clear, a very clear revelation, easy to understand. But it is true. Can Muslims or any reader who reads the Quran understand the truth of God, time share, creation, life of the prophet, or even future?
Get out the Quran. Muhammad records bits and pieces of information about famous biblical characters such as Adam, Abraham, Moses, David, Jonah, and even Noah. But this information is disconnected and fragmentary, contradicting the Bible and even contradicting itself.
10 years ago, the Lord put on my heart to write a book about exposing the lies and the errors of the Quran. But then we have faced another problem. All current English translations are corrupted. The English translators who translated the Quran to the English language hide many of the errors and the mistakes of the Quran from the English world. Then we spent several years to produce an accurate, modern English translation of the Quran. And with that completed, we then began production and have now finished our latest project, exposing the truth about the Quran.
In this powerful new two-volume set, you will discover one of the most thorough and comprehensive books of the Quran available in print. First, all of the references to important topics such as creation and the stories of the prophets scattered throughout the Quran are collected together into one place. Next, we examine the writings of the most respected Muslim scholars as they seek to understand these confusing and contradictory passages. Then, we demonstrate that Muslim scholars were forced to abandon the Quran and that they had to turn to the Bible for the true and authentic histories of these events in their futile attempt to reconcile the two. Finally, this comprehensive two-volume set proves that Muhammad contradicted the Bible and that the Quran repeatedly contradicts itself as it discusses these important issues.
It's time for the West to know the truth about Islam, to know the truth about its so-called prophet Muhammad. The Bible clearly teaches, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. We must know and expose the darkness, the dangers, and the deception of Islam, not only to protect ourselves, but to bring the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ to all the Muslims whom we love.
For ordering and more information, please visit thestraightway.org. Individual copy and case pricing is available.
And welcome back. We're glad to have you on this beautiful Saturday night. And it is August the 31st, as we will today begin our commentary on chapter 13. If you have missed any of our broadcasts on Joseph's story of Muhammad, which is the best of the call, please go back and watch our previous shows. We did, how many shows we did on Joseph, Paul?
At least 10.
At least 10. You got 10 hours worth of teaching, and I hope, Brother Paul, if you can bless us. I know it's too much work for you to do, but just even one or two a day, if you can grab the only the study of Joseph and make them part one to part three, whatever it is, and make them available without the entire show so people can get to Joseph directly. Can we do that, or I'm asking too much?
I'm working on it. It's going to be a while.
All right. Let's move on to another
chapter, which is Quran chapter 13. And let me just give you an idea. First of all, it's called the thunder. Okay, it's called the Ar-Ra'd in Arabic, which is the thunder. I love what the great Muslim scholar Al-Jalalayn told us about. Listen carefully, guys. We're talking about a scholar in Islam. His name is Jalalayn. He's the only guy who gave us details about it's a Mecca chapter or Medina chapter. What verses are Mecca? What verses are Medina? And really, when you read what Al-Jalalayn said, you can't help but to laugh. Because it shows you that there is no scholar in Islam, but there are a bunch of bummers. They call them scholars, I call them bummers, I stand up with it, and I challenge any Muslim to move your own. For example, when we say that chapter is Mecca, that means it was written in the first 15 years of Muhammad claiming to be a prophet, between the age of 40 to the age of 53, okay? If we say this chapter is Medini, which means it's written in the last 8 or some years after Muhammad migrated from Mecca to Medina, that's when he traveled north, the 210 miles or so. And obviously, in the end of the Revelation, chapter 9 supposed to be the last chapter Muhammad received from his angel Jibreel, and then he came back to Mecca to invade the city of Mecca, killing all the Jews, killing all the Christians, and open Mecca as a holy city for the Muslims, and then a year later, Muhammad died, okay? So that is Mecca and Medina. This is what Al-Jalalayn said. Surah Ar-Ra'd, the chapter of the thunder, Mecca, written in Mecca. Illa wala yazal alladhina kafaru al-ayah. What is wala yazal alladhina kafaru? That is Quran chapter 13 and verse 31. Okay. So how many verses we have in Quran chapter 13? 43 verses. So Quran, write down for me, Paul, please. Write down for me. If you want. Quran chapter 13 is Mecca. Except verse 31. Okay? That's chapter 13. Verse 31 is Medina, which means Allah added that verse in Medina later. Okay? Good. So, وَيَقُولُ الَّذِينَ كَفْرُوا أَلَسْتَ مُرْسِلًا an ayah. Wait a minute. Here's another verse. That is verse 43. So, the simple word, Christy Johnson, Quran chapter 16 is a Mecca chapter except two verses. It's verse 31 and verse Okay. Or, to think carefully. Now, Madaniya. Maybe it's not actually Mecca, it's a Medina. Mecca chapter except verse 31 and 43. You got it, Paul? You write it down?
Yes.
Oh, actually, it's a Medina chapter, okay? Except verse 31 and verse 46. So the whole chapter is Mecca except 31 and 43. The whole chapter is Mecca chapter except verse 43. How stupid can you be, Paul?
Come from?
Okay, that's a good point. So, now, verse 44 and 45 and 46, which are not in the chapter, these are key verses.
wait a minute. They look at this. I mean, they put it up on the screen. They deleted it?
Let me see it. Yeah.
All right. That's funny. So this is 43.
Yeah.
Get it here. This is 43 up here. Yeah. And as we're going down, see, there's nothing.
Nothing there. So somehow we're only missing three. First of all, it's a comedy. They tell me the same chapter as McKinney, also the same chapter as Medini, except the same two verses. 31 to 43. But you make it even worse when you tell me about the following three verses, 44, 45, 46, which even don't exist to be Mecca verses. And somehow Paul and Christy and everybody in our chat today, somehow Muslims believe the Quran is a perfect word of Allah, never been corrupted, never been changed, not even one word. Not even one word.
But we don't even have the whole Quran according to this.
Help me, Lord Jesus. Help. I'm trying to put my head around the Quran. Well, good luck for them. All right. Let's move on to Quran chapter 43 and verse
1.
1. Yeah.
Okay, I don't know how to pronounce this. A-L-M-R.
Al-Mar. That's not four letters, it's one word. Alif Lam Mim Ra Al-Mar.
These are the verses of the book, that which has been sent down to you from your Lord, the truth, but most people do not believe.
Are you wondering what does Al-Mar mean?
I don't think anybody knows what it means.
He said, Al-Tabari himself, Al-Mar, wa, Al-Mar, I don't know why he repeated twice without any tashkeel, I don't know how it's different, and others like them from the foreign word, min huruf al-ma'jam, allati fi biha awal al-fasl, which is used at the beginning of many of these portions of the revelation of the Quran, we do not know what it means. Only Allah knows, Paul. Only Allah knows. But somehow, the book of the Quran is very clear, easy to understand.
I just want to point out that Yusuf, he responded, well, maybe the goat ate those verses.
Oh, he's talking about 44, 45, 46. Yes, indeed. But because the last portion of the Quran, that portion of the Quran, Almighty God got to it and ate it. Alif Lam Mim Ra, Allah A'lam Murad Hi Bidzalika. Only Allah knows what he meant, Al-Jalalayn said. I mean, literally, there's not a scholar who would tell you what these letters mean, what these words mean. It's a word contained from four letters. Alif Lam Mim Ra Al-Mur.
Alright, how about verse 2? Okay. Verse 2. Allah is who lifted up the heavens without Imad.
Amen. Amen. Amen is a non-Arabic word which means pillars.
Pillars, okay. You see it, then he sat on the throne. And he made the sun and the moon subservient. Each traveled to its named time. He arranged the affairs. He explained the verses. Perhaps you may be certain of meeting your Lord.
I am actually, by reading that verse, I'm very certain that Allah's Muhammad, the Lord of Muhammad, is ignorant. That's what I'm
I don't know what he said either.
I'm gonna take that verse for you to pieces. We're gonna chew on it. I'm gonna show you how much error in one verse. The first thing he said that Allah, how great Allah is, who lift up the heavens without pillars. You see, in Muhammad's mind, he think heaven is like a ceiling. I'm not kidding you. He actually believed heaven is like a ceiling. You cannot build a house with a big ceiling. You don't have walls and pillars to carry it. It will fall, man. That's
wow.
How the imagination of Muhammad is beyond measure. What, Christy?
No, I'm just saying, yes, amazing. He's put up a ceiling without pillars. Wow.
Let me prove it to you. Go to Quran chapter 22, verse 65. Quran
22, 65. Yeah. There, a second.
22, I'm getting dizzy.
Right here. Do you not see that Allah has made subservient to you what is on the earth, and the ships run in the sea with his command, and he holds the heaven so that it will not fall on the earth?
Oh, my world! Imagine with me, Paul, if Allah just, look at me, he holds the heaven like that. If he let it go, you're history, man. You're cooked, buddy. You're crushed.
Okay.
Wow.
Okay. We got crazy.
Subhanallah. He's so strong. He holds the heavens. He catch heaven with his hand. All what he goes is let it go. And you are dead. You're crushed.
Wow. I'm glad my God is much bigger than this.
First of all, I don't like when you laugh at the word of Allah, because that is the word of Allah. Every word in it is true.
In his brain. In Allah's brain.
Wow.
Yeah, Allah's brain.
I'm glad you clarified that.
Listen, you guys need some help. Can you do me a favor? Can you read the bold statement? What do we have in the bold statement there before verse 2?
Oh, this makes me laugh every time I read it. Heaven is a structure. Okay, we've kind of discovered that. The earth is flat and does not move. But the sun and the moon travel. And then it has other verses to look at.
Well, we're going to look at it. We have to look at it. I don't know.
Is it
by mistake, or there's a reason for this?
No.
Let's look at the verse. First of all, he lifts up the heavens without pillars. Mashallah, mashallah. Allah is so smart. He can lift up. And he holds the heavens with his hand. Woo! We're in good shape. And then he set, what do you have after that? What's the next word? Did he what?
Earth is flat and does not move, but the sun and the moon were up
there. No, read the first one.
Okay, he made the sun and the moon subservient. Each traveled to its named time.
And if you go to Quran chapter 13 and verse 2, you see it, then he sat on the throne.
Oh, you see it, then he sat on the throne, okay.
Okay, if Allah was set on this, what do you need to set, my dear brother? What do you need to set?
We need a huge chair because he has a big butt.
Exactly. Do you know that? According to the great Muslim scholar, Ibn Kathir. Matter of fact, it's according to Allah. Let's look for the word aid, Samadhi. I need to look for that word. It's a nice word. Samadhi.
What does that mean in English?
Well, I'll find it first for you. If I could not find it, I'll let you know. I want to have the joy of finding it myself. Samadhi as well. Oh, chapter 69, verse 17, brother. Please bless me and read that wonderful miracle verse of the Quran. Mashallah. 69:17.
And the angels will be on its sides. And eight will carry the throne of the Lord above them on that day.
You have to understand now, that's not just a small throne, okay? If eight angels carry the throne, that means it's a big throne. Allah sat with his big butt on that big throne, and the throne is carried by eight angels. Do you know how big these angels are?
They've got to be huge, because he made Adam like a giant, 90 feet tall. If Adam's 90 feet tall, how big are the angels?
the distance between the earlobe and the shoulder of this angel met. قال ثمانية أملاك وخالف يحمل يوم أربعة ويوم ويوم خامس من today it was actually carried by four, but on the day of judgment it will be carried by eight. Muhammad said this. And now that is the listen this. I'm not kidding you. Their feet is on the first heaven. That's how big this image is, okay? The soldier is out of the seventh heaven. God, he has to understand this. Paul, listen this. Every earth is 500 years of traffic. You follow me? Do you have a calculator, Paul?
I can pull it up.
Please pull a calculator. Tonight is a math night. We need to teach our people how to add and subtract. Forget about the Quran. Forget about Allah. Forget about Muhammad. It's math, okay? 500 years of traveling. Okay? 500 years. Yep, I like your numbers. Yes, sir. And then there is 500 years space between the earth and the second earth. So make it time to.
Okay.
Equal. Oh. 1,000. Make it 1,000, man. Make it 1,000. Just 1,000.
Sorry. 500.
Times 2.
Times 2.
Equal? What is the number that equals? Oh, 1,000. Times 7 now, because we got 7 Earths. Times 2, because we got 7 heavens.
We got 14,000.
1,000 years of traveling. How much do you think the travel will be in 1 year?
I have no clue.
So when that angel, the eight of them, carry the throne of Allah, their feet are on the first earth, and they go all the way through the seven earths, and all the empty space between the seven earths, and all the seven heavens, and all the seven empty space between the seven heavens. My Lord, help me, God. Help me, Lord Jesus. The distance between the earlobe and the shoulder is literally miles and miles and miles. That throne of Allah must be huge, which makes the butt of Allah even huge. You understand?
14,000.
Yeah.
14,000 light years. Where this is going to be funny.
I don't know. No, just years of travel. I guess it was a camel. Let's ask the question. How many miles a camel will walk in a day? How many miles a camel will walk in a day? You found the number?
50 to 60 miles.
15 to 16, oh, 60. Let's go with 50, man. Let's go to 50, not 60. 50.
Okay.
50 times 365.
So we got that 14,000.
Don't worry about the 14,000. I remember it. 50 miles times 365. That's the number?
18,250.
That is in 1 year. Oh, times 14,000. I think that angel is big, Christine. Don't you think so?
Yeah, I think so.
How big is the throne? I mean, I can carry a chair 4 feet. But if you got 8 people, we can carry a chair much bigger than 8 of us, okay? So how big do you think the throne of Allah? Big. Now, and my last question, how big is the butt of Allah when you sit on his butt? Never mind, let's go back to the Quran.
All right.
It's for my dear Muslim friends to just use the imagination to have fun with the word of Allah, but Allah sat on his throne. What come after Allah sat in his throne?
Where are we now?
Back to
verse two, brother. What is wrong with you?
Back to,
you're getting all
going back to 13.
13.
So I'm just trying to be where you want me to be there. Okay.
Yeah.
So he sat on the throne. He made the sun, the moon subservient.
Oh, you see, subservient. The sun and the moon do exactly what Allah asked him to do. Okay. Okay. Let's go to Quran chapter 18. Quran chapter 18. Look for the word sun. Let me look at it in the Arabic, man. In the Arabic language. Quran chapter 18. Let's look for the word shams. Shams. Ya Habibi, ya Baba. Inta ya Baba, ya Habibi. And shams. Al-shams. Man, you can do a study on the sun, man. That's not to do a study on the sun. But in Quran chapter 18, okay, let's go to Quran chapter 18, verses 86.
Oh, okay.
وَشَمْسْ تَجْرِي لِمُسْتَقَرًّا لَهَا.
Until when he reached the setting of the sun. Oh, that's Dhul-Qarnayn.
Yeah. What did he find out?
He found it set in a muddy spring.
Exactly. That's how it gets dark at night, Christy Johnson. Can you learn some truth from the word of Allah in the Quran?
Wow. I didn't know this.
How about verse 90, man? Go to verse 90.
So when he reached the rising of the sun, he found that it rose on a people to whom we had given no shelter from it.
Man, can you see the truth?
I mean, that gives reason to understand the concept of crispy. Oh, my gosh.
I'm telling you, go to Quran chapter 51, verse 29. We need to do a study on the sun, but we can do that later. Some other night. 51:29.
Have you not seen that Allah penetrates the night into the day and penetrates the day into the night, and that he made the sun and the moon each run subservient to an appointed time that Allah is aware of what you do?
Here's the deal. Here's the deal, guys. I think Muhammad have a great imagination. The earth sits still. It does not move, okay? Somehow the sun goes in circle around the earth and the moon follow the sun and circle around the earth, and each one of them just go, keep going, keep going. You know that? That's exactly what people used to believe in Muhammad days.
Yeah.
Yep.
So Muhammad is not even right to us some magic or some secret or something. How did Muhammad know that? Yeah, he knows that because that's what everybody believed in his day. The earth sits still, does not move. The sun circles around the earth and the moon circles around the earth. And believe me, my friend, if you're a true Muslim, honest with yourself, that's what you must believe. That's what exactly you must believe. To think about the earth circle around itself once a day, to create the morning and night every day, that is a lie. To think about the earth circle around the sun once a year, to create the spring and fall and winter and summer, that's a lie. Because Allah said the sun and the earth go around the earth and they never catch each other. Have you ever seen them catch each other?
I don't think it's ever going to happen except for their concept of maybe an eclipse.
Yeah. But nobody knows what it is. All right. So let's move on again to the verse. The verse 2. Quran 13:2, mashallah. I love that verse, man. It has so much science and facts. Every Muslim could stick with Allah and the Quran if you just read it without the glass of Islam. Just read it. Use your brain. If God give you a brain, I think Muslims don't have brain. If you have a brain, you're no longer a Muslim. So you have to choose. Have brain or be a Muslim. You can have it both ways. Go ahead. Read the verse one more time. Slow down, brother.
Okay.
You need it
Allah is who lifted up the heavens without you see it, then he sat on the throne, and he made the sun and the moon subservient. Each traveled into its named time.
Mm-hmm.
He arranged the affairs. He explained the verses. I don't know where he did that. Perhaps you may be certain of meeting your Lord.
Explain the verses. I mean, all what you're reading, that does not explain to you. What do you want Allah to do? Come sit down and talk to you and explain it to you, sir?
I want him to actually give me. Okay, I've only found the one clear verse where we were talking about weird dreams. That's the only one. That was clear.
Confused dream. Exactly. That was the only perfect verse in the Quran. What do we have in Quran chapter 15, verse 19, man? 15, 19. I need to know what's it. This makes me wonder. Why did I put that in the bold statement? 15, 19.
All right.
15, 19.
In the earth, we spread it out and tossed on it stabilizers. You know what?
Spread it out.
And we planted in it from every weighted thing. So the earth needed to be weighted down or it would fly away. Okay.
Let me explain to you what the great Muslim scholar Ibn Kathir. You see, what you do not know because you're so infidel and you're so ignorant of the wisdom of Allah and the might knowledge of Allah.
God, thank you for making me ignorant of
that. Sir. If you cannot handle the truth, then hang up and leave. Christy, she can handle the truth. She knows everything. The earth, remember I told you the seven earths? But the earth of this world actually used to be, I mean, it's still there, but it used to be without mountains. The stabilizers are like mountains, okay? And it sat on the back of Noon. Do you know who is Noon?
Yes.
No.
The whale.
What is wrong with you? You call yourself an educated man? That's why you're still infidel, man. No, the big whale.
The whale outside of the earth. Is that what we're saying?
No. Right.
The whale is outside and the earth sits on its back. Okay?
I know I've heard something like
that. Seriously, you cannot be laughing at me. Then he sneezed. Something went in his nose and the whale sneezed. Let me ask you a question. Does a whale sneeze?
Underwater? I don't think so.
Can you do me a search, please? Please. Go to my left and ask, does whale sneeze?
Oh, my goodness.
If you're not going to take our study seriously, please, you need to hang up.
Oh, it is so serious. I'm serious.
This is the word of Allah. We're trying to figure out if what he told us is true or not.
Whales do not involuntarily sneeze as land animals do. They do cough and exhale, but they don't.
Man, what is wrong with that stupid Ibn Kathir? He lied to me. He literally lied to me because he said the whale sneezed and the earth shook. So Allah did modification. You know, when you make a car and you find that something is falling apart, and then you call it back to the factory, and you add something to it, and it's pre-charged. No, Allah added the stabilizer to the earth. He created the mountain to stop it from shaking if the well sneezes again. You know when we have earthquakes? It's because the well still sneezes.
Yeah.
Shake it, baby, shake it. That's what happened. So anyway, can't help it. So Allah created the stabilizers, which is the mountain to stop the earth from shaking. And so, and the earth, we spread it out. You know what Muslim scholars said about spread it out? Flattened it. And if you believe in the sphere earth, that's why you're still infidel. That's why you're still infidel. I was just listening to a TV show, seven weeks ago, I heard it so many times in my life, but that was recently. So here I am in my car with some friends and good friends, and they all know Arabic, they're all from the Middle East, friends.
and they all speak Arabic well. And that lady told Muhammad Saleh, that the Muslim imam who left Islam and became an atheist. She told him the reason the people of the West did not accept Islam fully is because the teachers are teaching them lies. So he said, like what? She said, they are teaching the children that the earth is sphere, where Allah knows it's flat, and the Quran is very clear it is flat. If they will just teach the truth, there will not be one student, not one teacher, will not accept Islam.
Oh my gosh.
You infidels, I'm sorry. I wish I can help you. But unless you get rid out of your infidelity, you will never accept Islam. You need a lot of help. Okay, that is 15. How about 16:15, man? Quran chapter 16, verse 15. You're killing me, Smalls.
This one's very long. Yet. No, it's not.
16:15. No. That means 16:15. It's an easy verse. It's a blessed verse. Every word.
And he threw the stabilizers on the earth. He basically threw them, okay, so that it does not move with you. And rivers and ways, perhaps you may be guided.
But see, if Allah did not put the stabilizers and mountains on the earth, it will move.
Wow.
You have to come to the belief that the earth does not move. Why? Because
yes, Allah doesn't know about earthquakes or plate tectonics.
So, the amazing is the sun and the moon go in circle around the earth. The earth does not move. It sits still there. It's not just about shaking. Talk about circling about itself. Man, you know what? You guys are so much of an input. I can't. The chance for me to help you is a slip. I'm sorry. How about Quran chapter 20? Quran chapter 20 and verse 53. It must be a good. I wrote it for a reason. There must be some truth there. Quran chapter 20. Mashallah, is 20. You got the verse 53?
Yep. He who made the earth for you flat and has traced out ways for you in it has sent down water from heaven. So we bring forth as pairs of different plants by it.
See? See the wisdom of Allah?
I see the confusion of Allah.
Because you're an infidel, my friend. The problem is in you. There's no other word. See, Christy, she likes it. Don't you, Christy?
Isama, it has been very entertaining and interesting to learn all these important facts from the Quran.
Maybe that word will convince you of the truth of the word of Allah.
Hey, I walked outside last night. I think that must be right. Wait a minute.
Quran chapter 31. If you're not going to believe by this next verse here, there's nothing I can do to help you. That's it. 31 and verse 10. Man, oh man. Woo! Yeah.
He created the heavens without columns, you see it, and he threw stabilizers on the earth. It should move with you, lest it should move with you, and he scattered in it every creature. And he sent down water from heaven, so we grow plants in it from every generous pair.
I mean, can't you see the wisdom of Allah, the work of Allah, the miracles of Allah? I mean,
well, I think Allah just revealed he's never heard of asexual reproduction.
Why is that?
Because he says he's talking about plants coming from generous pairs.
Yes. You don't believe in that?
No, he doesn't understand that some plants have asexual reproduction.
No. It's you misunderstand the verse. You don't know the verse. See, that's a problem with you, American infidels. You don't get truth from the word of Allah. Move on, man. Go back to Quran chapter 13, man. You know what? I think I wasted my time trying to convince you of the truth. Christy is not laughing tonight. What is wrong with Christy? Mashallah. You know what? I need to open my Arabic Quran because there must be some words of wisdom there.
Okay.
Hey, you
want to go on to three, or are we still in two?
Let me look, man. Don't rush me. Don't rush me. Yeah, it's the same thing. Three is like, oh, three for three.
Okay. And he is who has spread the earth and put stabilizers on it and rivers and of every fruit he has placed on it to pears.
Look at
he
this.
Makes the,
as somebody said, والله الذي مد الأرض فبسطها طولا وعرضا. Allah is the one who spread the earth, who flattened the earth length and width.
Man, this is good. This is good. Sounds like he's got a rectangle going.
I don't know. That's what Allah said. That's what Allah said. But you guys, you're not encouraging me to get in depth to the Buddha Allah. You kind of put me to sleep. You're so boring. I don't like the way you talk about Allah and His Word. Okay, you know what? Let's go to verse 8. You got maybe get something more better than that. Verse 8.
We're skipping down to verse 8. Allah knows what every female bears and how much their womb lessens and enlarges, and with Him everything is by measure.
Do you know that Muhammad gave us some good, strong foundation for the age of pregnancy? And how did he know that 1,400 years ago, unless he was a true prophet of Allah? You know that?
Probably watched someone get pregnant, like his own wife.
No. But you see, you still think wrong. Listen to this. I'm not going to waste your time because there's so much here. It says here, the least time a woman can be pregnant is 6 months or 7 months. Good. As for the how long the pregnancy could be, we got different numbers. I have to give you the one more way. Listen. How do you like, according to Aisha radiallahu anha, Aisha is the mother of all believers, she actually said 2 years. That's not bad. Imagine, Christy, how many children do you have, Christy?
I have five.
Right. Is any of them you were pregnant for 2 years?
No.
What is the longest time you've ever been pregnant, Christy?
Well, 9 months. And maybe a few
you
days.
You never have a child for a year and a half, 2 years?
No, I never did that.
It's happened with you. Maybe we have some. Can you ask the people in the chat room if any of the ladies have a baby and she was pregnant for 2 years? Can you please ask?
Oh, I gotta say this. Houston wrote, I always go to 9-year-old children for my scientific knowledge needs.
Houston needs some help. Gosh. Houston, you have a problem. How do you like to be pregnant for 4 years? Because according to what I'm reading here, actually the normal years of pregnancy to Muslim scholars are 4 years. Okay? Do we have any woman who are pregnant in the chat room for 4 years? Please check it out.
I thought this was an elephant's pregnancy time.
18 months. 18-month elephant.
Oh, my gosh.
Yep. But check with the people in the chat room. I'm looking here. 4 years. 4 years.
Anyone here pregnant for 4 years?
Anybody who was pregnant because you put your name to the, you don't believe the word of Allah. 4 years. Oh, I got a new number here. Actually, 5 years. Who would like to be pregnant?
Five. Oh, my gosh.
All of this just to make Muhammad happy.
Guys, anybody would like to be pregnant for 5 years? Not Houston. Houston is a man. He could not be pregnant for even a day.
Darcy said, only Allah knows.
let me read another number for you. Just relax, guys. You're making me nervous. I cannot spell the word of Allah when you guys look at it. Oh! 8 years! Who would like to be pregnant for 8 years? Anybody going well?
That kid's coming full of everything.
Actually, I got even 10 years here. I mean,
wow.
Think about it. If this is not a miracle, how did Muhammad know that a woman can be pregnant 2, 4, 6, 8, 10 years, whatever? How did he know that 1,400 years ago, unless he's a true prophet?
Huh?
Can you tell me about that?
I think he got it wrong to begin with. Just proved himself not to be a prophet.
I was speaking in a college in Tennessee. I'm not kidding you. A bunch of Muslim students came to attend my meeting. A long story I shared with you later. But in the end of it, one of the students, she told me, we have enough scientific evidence that Muhammad's a prophet. I said, like what? She said, did you know that Muhammad talked about the fly wings? The fly wings. 1,400 years ago. How did he know about the fly wings 1,400 years ago unless it's a true prophet? I said, what are you talking about? Everything that they don't know she's talking about. I just want the rest of the students to hear her. Anybody know fly have wings? She said, oh, no. We're talking about the left wing and the right wing. I said, yeah, everybody know fly have left wings and right wings. What's so big deal about that? Does this make me a prophet, too? She said, no. The left wings have the disease, and the right wings have the cure of the disease. She actually, Christy, believed in that it'd be true. And I said, are you kidding me? She said, no. She said, one doctor in California. And I'm talking to a student in college in Tennessee. Not somebody behind some camel or behind some cow collecting some urine to drink. I'm talking about a very educated young lady, 19, 20 years old, maybe 22 years old, I don't know. That doctor in California studied thousands of flies, investigated the wings, and he found it to be true. That's why
that doctor
became a Muslim. Can you give me the name of the doctor? I do not know. Do you have his email address? I do not know. Do you have his telephone number? I do not know. And you expect me to believe that there is a real doctor in California that studied on fly wings and he found this very amazing fact, and now he became a Muslim?
Oh, my gosh. These stories, I mean, who makes this stuff up and then spreads it? I mean,
it happens every day with memes. We're tired of
I
get that every single day.
This has been going on since long before memes, this story about,
But do you know why Muhammad made up, by the way, you know why Muhammad made up the story about the years, lengthy and the short years, and why his scholars really believe in it? Why Muslims believe in it? I mean, it's unbelievable. I'm going to tell you a story about what's happened in Egypt by the Azhar University, by the Mufti of the Azhar, to know that. What I believe is Muhammad was trying to create a holiness to his mother. Why? Because all Muslims believe Muhammad is the son of Abdullah. Now, Abdullah died 3 years or so before Muhammad died. So the chance for
Muhammad was born.
So the chance for Muhammad's mother, Amna, to be a righteous woman, she did not sleep with another guy later, is slim, except she had to be pregnant with her son, Muhammad, for 4 years. And that's why he wrote the verse in the Quran, and that's why Muslims will continue to defend that he is Muhammad, the son of Abdullah, when in reality, Abdullah has been dead for all these years before Muhammad was born. But there was a case in Egypt that actually had the video for it, and somehow the video disappeared from the YouTube. I love it. It's no longer there. But a man went to Saudi Arabia, and he was working there for a good 3 years, and his wife was about to have a baby. So the family called and said, you better come home. So he got home, and she's in the hospital delivering her baby. So obviously he went to the Mufti of the Azhar in Egypt, and he said, that's not my child. He said, why? How do you know? He said, I've been away for 3 years. He said, 3 years? He said, yes. He said, according to Sharia, Islamic law, he is your child. And that's how the case ended in Egypt. They never told the woman, because obviously the Mufti said, 3 years, he is his son. But we read the Muslim scholars, I didn't get to it. A man was about to kill his wife said, oh, Prince of the Believers, said, yes. He said, my wife cheats on me because she's telling me she's pregnant, and I know she's, that's not my child. So Omar waited. He said, wait. We're not going to stone her. Wait. And then he waited. Imagine that was me. He waited until she had the baby. One of the people of the month, the pregnancy was so hard. I mean, the delivery is so hard. So the actually said of the month, it's one of the two things. She is A, pregnant, or B, have lots of gas in her belly. You know, when people fart, they have lots of gas. So her belly is so big, and this is not know what's wrong with her. But while the people pray for Allah to that he will fix that problem, the lady got pregnant. The man ran to the house, and he got his baby, and he literally hanged his baby on his shoulder. 4-year-old boy with teeth, Christy. Look at my teeth. Teeth. The boy was born with teeth, and he thanked Allah, and he thanked Allah because he looked a lot like his father. And he did not know that his wife cheated on him or not, but now he knows for sure. He said, thanks be to Allah, thanks be to Omar. I was almost about to kill my beloved wife, the innocent woman, and that's my boy. And he was so happy to have his son with him to the mosque, and all the people rejoicing because he was a grown-up boy with teeth.
Well, there's no breastfeeding that child.
Well, I don't know if he's going to be breastfeeding or not, because that'll be a hard thing for the mama. Anyway, my time is up. Thank you so much. And we have a video to watch here, and hopefully we have some questions.
Well, I hope you've enjoyed the humor and the facts of Islam along with the discussion. Some of this should make you ask if any bit of what we're sharing is true, does this mean you should leave Islam? Well, that's up to you.
Amen.
What we would like you to do is to leave Islam and then take a choice that comes to you at the end of this video. If you choose Christ at the end of this video, please contact the Straight Way of Grace Ministry. We would like to celebrate with you.
Amen.
Okay.
It astounds me that people who are going to buy a new stereo system or a new automobile or a refrigerator will spend a great deal of time reading the magazines, looking into the consumer reports, and selecting the very best one for the money. But when it comes to their eternal souls, they flippantly say, well, everybody has their own belief, you know. One day, a famous preacher in America, Harry Ironside, was preaching on the streets. A passerby interrupted him and said, excuse me, sir, how do you expect an ordinary man like me to figure out the right way? There are thousands of beliefs in the world. Harry Ironside said, sir, thousands of beliefs? I only know of two. Said the man, there's Buddhism and Confucianism and Hinduism and Islam and all the isms of Christendom. What do you mean only two beliefs? Ironside said, there are those who believe they can save themselves and those who believe they need a savior. All of the religions of the world basically tell you there's something you need to do to save yourself. But the message of Christianity is unique in this, that it proclaims to men and women a savior. There are many people who say, well, the Bible is just another holy book. They're all pretty much the same. Now, people who say that haven't done their homework. What God did for us so that we could authenticate the message of Jesus as he came into the world was before ever he came, hundreds of years before he came, to paint a portrait in words that would exactly describe him when he did come. One prophet said that he was going to be betrayed, and you would assume that his betrayal would be done by his enemies. No, said another prophet, it would be his friend, his confidant. You would presume that if he was betrayed by the Jews, that he would be executed by stoning. That was the traditional form of execution by the Jews. Remember, they did it with Stephen. They tried to do it with Paul. No, says another prophet, they will pierce his hands and his feet. In fact, the description of the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus, written about 1,000 years before it happened, describes his crucifixion more than 700 years before crucifixion was invented. You would assume that if a man was to be sold for a price, according to Jewish law, a man would be sold for 50 pieces of silver. No, said the scripture. He will be sold for 30 pieces of silver. Now, isn't that an astounding fact? The very people who were trying to disprove his messiahship knew that scripture. And all they had to do to disqualify him from being the Messiah was pay 31 pieces of silver, and he wouldn't have been the Messiah. And they paid 30 pieces of silver and sealed the amount of money in the public record. Where would the Messiah be born? Where would he come from? Matthew quotes, first of all, that Messiah would be born in Bethlehem, Judah. So said Micah, chapter 5, verse 2, perhaps 750, 800 years before the Lord Jesus came, Messiah would be born in Bethlehem, Judah. You arrange the town you're born in. You try to arrange the family you're born to. I suggest it would be a bit tough to do. But you see, that's not the extent of it, because as I pointed out, it was those who did not want him to look like the Messiah who paid the 30 pieces of silver, and who authenticated his messiahship by that. I give it to fulfill prophecies. There are over 300 of them. Now, my friend, you've got to do something with that. You can ignore it. But if you examine the Word of God, you will discover that unlike any other religion in the world, God has taken your brain seriously, and he has given you hard evidence to believe that Jesus has proven himself to be the Messiah, the Son of God, and declared to be the Son of God with power by the resurrection from the dead. Christianity is the only belief system in the world that gives you evidence in history to authenticate its truthfulness. But there's more. Some people think that if they do good in certain situations, that they will get a credit with God to overcome the bad things they've done. Some people say, well, I think I'm a pretty good person. Listen, you don't even come up to your own standards, let alone God's. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, in other words, by seeking to live a good life and keep the Ten Commandments, live by the golden rule, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight. Everybody falls short of God's standard. No matter how wicked a sinner you are, no matter how good you think you are, God has made an offer to the human race. To those who find the way barred, because their own sin and failure has kept them from meeting God's standard, there is an alternative. It is the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all those who believe, for all have sinned. Christianity is the only belief system in the world that lets you be honest with God about your sin. You ask someone who's trying to get to heaven by the good works, how are you doing? Oh, not bad. Oh, really? Not bad, huh? Well, doing pretty good. Doing my best. Oh, you are. I've never met anybody who does their best, even by their own standards. God doesn't ask you to pretend you're okay. He wants you to be honest with him. Now, listen carefully. And you may not believe me at first, but it's true. Christianity is the only belief system in the world that offers a savior. Islam doesn't offer a savior. Islam says save yourself. It's a do-it-yourself religion. And all the religions of the world fall under the same category. You do it. And if you do it well enough, you get to heaven. And as long as you think you can save yourself, any religion will do. You find out you need a savior, the list is very short. There's only one, and his name is Jesus. Now, save yourself is an absolutely ludicrous statement. If you're in a burning building and you're screaming out the window, help, save me, save me. And I'm walking by and I say, ah, save me. Listen, if you can save yourself, you don't want to be saved. You can't save yourself. When Christ died on the cross, he paid the debt you owed. And in exchange for your sin, taking your sin, he has offered you his rightness, his righteousness, as a gift, a free exchange. Salvation is not something you earn. Salvation is a gift. Every other religion ultimately says that when you stand before God, you're desperately hoping that he's going to fudge a bit to let you into heaven. There's no follower of any religion that says, when I stand before God someday, I'm going to say to him, okay, God, here's your challenge. Put my life up on this side. Put your law on that side. And I challenge you to find one thing wrong with my life. Is that what people are going to say? No, no. They're hoping against hope that somehow they're going to slip in, maybe in the top half percent, you know. Maybe they're going to get in if God won't be too careful at looking at their life. However, can I expect to get into heaven? Oh, says God, here's what we'll do. I'll account your debt to my son. He'll pay it in full. So God sets the standard. God hands over the bills, and then he pays it himself. Examine the evidence. Not only the evidence in the Bible, the evidence in your own heart that you're a sinner and you need a Savior, and you can't save yourself. And then read what the Bible has to say about the Lord Jesus, the Savior of sinners. He came to save you. And if you will, as the Bible declares, be honest with God about your sin. That's what the Bible calls repentance. And receive the Lord Jesus as the Savior of sinners. Say, oh God, I don't know why you'd want me. I'm damaged goods. But you said that whoever came to you, you would in no wise cast out. Take me now. Save me now. I give up. I'll accept the gift of God, eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.